I've had on my mind a lot this week. Words that I live by. Just thinking about different basic principles that are in the Bible, that they're not just specific commands that I go to the Bible and read for every part of my life, but there are principles that, because of that principle, this and this and this and this and this is what I do or don't do in my life. It comes from one principle. So there are several of those principles in my life. And one of them is this principle that your body is the temple of God. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And there's so many things that I thought of in my life that I do because of that principle, because of what I feel and sense and know about God, that would He be pleased or would He not be pleased, since my body is His temple? Would He be pleased with this or would He be pleased with that? Because He lives here. This is where He abides. Anyway, that's been on my mind a lot, and it's not necessarily what the message is about this morning, but that's kind of the underlying theme, really, of what we're going to preach today. Sometime this week, I had just flipped on the radio, and it was tuned to the Christian radio station here, and I heard Brother Drake. He's gone, but they still play his messages. And what he said, and I was asking the Lord for, actually, I was asking the Lord to inspire me with a song. I had been asking the Lord, I'd like to write a song about this certain subject. And I had been asking the Lord for a song, and I flipped on the radio, and Brother Drake said, he said, you need to ask yourself these questions. Who am I? Where am I going? What is my duty? What is my danger? What is my destiny? And that just kind of stuck in my mind, especially the one this morning. This is what I'm going to speak to us about. Ahead. At least it's all on one line. But that really gripped me. I began to think, well, what is my danger? What is, after I answered the question on who am I, where am I going, and what is my duty, what would seek to hinder me from doing my duty and to go where I want to go? What's the danger that is right there to beset me? And just so many things came to my mind, and so I've been thinking about that as well, and feel that the Lord has given me some of His word along that line. So I want to go, and let's start with Romans 12, that has the thought about our bodies being sacrificed to God, a living sacrifice. I'm going to start with that and then go from there to the dangers. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So that would answer the question, what is my duty? My duty is to consecrate body and spirit and soul to God completely. Yield them completely to God, which that's my reasonable service. And then it goes on and says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we know in other scriptures it talks about that renewing being accomplished by the Holy Spirit, renewing our mind in Christ Jesus. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, not conformed, but transformed. that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Another part of our duty is to know and to do the will of God. How important is that? That affects the destiny. Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but who? He who does the will of my Father. So that's very important that we do the Lord's will while here on earth so that we can make it into heaven. We know His will is for us to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So that's all included in that. But what are the dangers here? He speaks about, in verse 2, he gives us an admonition. Be not conformed to this world. When you read this in its original intent, the language, it should read like this. Do not let the world press you into its mold. And that is one of the dangers that I thought about. What is my danger? We have a great danger that presses in around us. And it's not just people, flesh and blood. And we know that our warfare is not carnal. It's not with flesh and blood, but we fight a spiritual warfare. So there is a spirit of this world. And that spirit seeks to press us, you and I, children of God, saints of God, holy, temples of the Lord. That spirit presses in against us constantly to push us into the mold of this world. We only can triumph over that by something that is born of God in us, our faith, our convictions, what God has convinced us and persuaded us about. That is the only thing that will overcome in this battle of the world trying to press us into its mold. If I don't have God really convincing me, this is how I want you to live, and this is where you have been wrong. If I don't have that conviction in my heart and life, I'm easy prey, and I'm easily pressed into the world's mold. Only, and that's the reason why I say that, is in 1 John 5, he says about overcoming the world. Let's read that. For whatsoever, verse 4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And our faith are our convictions. That word faith means divine persuasion. It's what God has birthed in us. It's born of God inside of us. God must do that for each of us in order for us to overcome the world and not be pressed into its mold. But there's still a danger. There's every day a danger. So he gives the warning then in 1 John 2, in verse 15, he said, love not the world. Now he's not talking about the world that God so loved. That's the world of people, souls. He's not saying don't love souls. He's talking about the world. And then he defines what the world is. For all that is in the world, verse 16, the lust of the flesh, this is 1 John 2. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the desires of this flesh, the lust of the eyes, the desires after what your eye sees, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So these things right here are our dangers. And you can't get away from them because you have flesh. God has saved us. He has forgiven our sins. And then we give ourselves to Him in complete surrender, as Dan said. And He fills us with His Spirit. And I believe that Spirit, now some people don't believe this, but I really believe that there is a cleansing of something deeper than just my committed sins. When the Holy Spirit comes into our life, when we have completely surrendered our will to God, that we are, it is a deal that we don't change. My will is surrendered to God. When we know that we are completely the Lord's, and the Lord knows that, He seals that with His Spirit, mine. That Holy Spirit is the witness that we have given everything to God, completely and forever, no changing. We have done that deliberately, and we do it every day. Every day we renew it. Every day He renews His Spirit in us as we renew our consecration to Him. And that, I believe that there is a cleansing of something deep There's a cleansing of the selfish. Some people call it ego slaying. Some people call it death to self. But what that's accomplished in this, the Spirit coming into us. But we have to maintain that because it's so closely tied with our flesh, our body. We still have a body. That self-centeredness God has dealt with, yes, and cleansed. But it can come back to life if we yield to the desires of our flesh. And that's what he says here. Don't love the world. For all that is in the world, the desires of your flesh and the desires of your eyes and the pride of life, something that's in our flesh that can be, it can be tempted, it can be aroused, it can be interested by something that's presented to us. If God, in his Spirit filling us, had taken away everything, we wouldn't have these warnings. But as Adam and Eve were in the garden, think about this. They weren't in a city filled with people. There were no other people. There was the tempter, and there was flesh. They were flesh and blood. So they had something that could be tempted. They didn't have the image of man, the carnal image. They didn't have past sins, but they could be tempted. We're kind of in that same condition. If we come to God, we've yielded to him completely. He's forgiven our past sins. We have a clean slate and a clean heart, but we can still be tempted. He wouldn't have given us these warnings. There wouldn't be any danger if we were just made perfect in this world as far as, well, the desire to sin is all gone. I'll never do that again, never have any problems with that again. Some people have tried to project the Christian life as that way, but they have forgotten that we still have a body. We still have a might. We still have a will. Even though we deliberately yield it to the Lord, we still have it. We can take it back. Temptation can become so strong that in our weakness, we can yield to it, even after we're saved. And that happens to people. And he's given us scriptures. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He didn't intend for us to live in sin and practice sin after we're saved. That's not his plan. And he has the ability to keep us from it. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, the scripture says, and to present you spotless. So we know it's in God's will and his ability to keep us from sin. But we've got to realize that we have flesh. And he goes on and he says in different places about our flesh that we need to continually yield to God in order to keep that flesh from overcoming us. I think about 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, which is describing how we are fitting in this world. We don't fit. That's why the world's constantly trying to push us into its mold, because we're in this world and we don't fit with it. And he says here, you're strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. So, we have a danger because we have our own bodies, our own, how we're made up, how we're formed. We've been horribly marred by sin. The Lord comes in and he cleanses the deep part of our heart, but we still have a flesh that is had responded and reacted to that selfishness in time past, and we've got to discipline our flesh to obey the will of God. And that's why we have the Spirit given to us to help that. He comes into our lives, and what we do whenever we're yielding to the Spirit is giving him permission to deal with all of that stuff. We say yes to him. Yes, Lord, you may deal with that. I quit fighting against you. Have your way in my life now and forever. I yield myself to you. And he gives us his Spirit, and the Spirit goes to work. And many people get confused right there because they say, I thought you said that when the Spirit came that we would quit having so many struggles. The Spirit's just going to work inside of us, and he's working with this and with this and with this. All those places where we had learned only our own selfish way of dealing with everything. So now the Spirit begins to come in and deal with those things. There's a literal object lesson that God gave in the land of Canaan. When the children went over the river into the land of Canaan, they were there, but it wasn't heaven. It wasn't heaven. It was a place of battle. They had giants to kill. They had kingdoms to overthrow. And if they didn't do it, those people came back in and conquered them, which is exactly what happens. And so it is with us. Yes, the Lord gives us the life of the Spirit when we ask for it and we surrender to Him. But if we don't yield to Him and consume all of those nations that are in our hearts, they'll come back in on us. They'll rule us again. It's constant warfare, and that's why we have a danger. What is my danger? My danger is that my flesh will rule me. Jesus said for us, He said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross, what? Daily. Deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So that's our call today. The danger is that this world will try to press us into its mold. And I want to speak to us just a little bit about some of that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's a verse. He had been talking all about the resurrection, and then he mentions a little bit about false doctrine, and he gives us a warning to about false doctrines. And you see a lot of that in the scripture, that they're warning us that there's a danger that somebody's going to try to tell you something different from what the Word of God says. So that's one of our dangers. Part of this world trying to press you into its mold is the seduction of religious, false religious spirits trying to come and get us. And let me read this to you. He said in verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That needs to be a little rule that we all live by. When I was growing up, unfortunately, I'm really sad about this, but unfortunately we lived in a horrible neighborhood. There were evils of all kinds around us. Our next door neighbors, people across the street, children down the road and down around this corner. I remember the awful things that were presented to us as little children. Some of them I still battle in my flesh. Some of them my brothers caved into completely. One brother was saved out of it when he was 19. The Lord's taken him on to heaven. But my other brother, he's never come out of it. And I can look back and see that those friends, those people that were so close in our lives had a great influence on us as small children. The things that they brought into our lives. And you children, you need to be aware that there are going to be people that will present things to you that are not right. There's going to be people that come and bring you books and things to look at that is very evil. It's an abomination to God, and it'll hurt you. It'll hurt you so bad inside. You need to be prepared and know how to say no. Know how to run and look away and say, that's not right. I won't look at it. I won't have anything to do with it. There are words. There's a way of speaking that the world has. That is one of the easiest things, it seems like, to slip into our lives, is to begin speaking like the world. There are words, there are phrases, there are meanings, there are things to laugh at. There are things that people say when they're mad. There are things that people say to be cool and to be cute. And those things are very, very attractive to a child, to a young person, to fall into that mold. You may not have ever wanted to say it yourself, but when you're in a circle of friends who say those things all the time, God's name and things about heaven and hell and other things that are about our bodies that are sacred and holy unto God, all of those things are so, they're so pressed in on us today. That's one of the dangers, I would say, is on the internet and Facebook and social media, is the language that people use. It enters into your mind and your thoughts. So much of the time people say these things. I cannot believe how profanity has taken hold of our nation, where people in authority, people that are supposed to be examples, use such awful language. That's one place that I see that the world would want to press us into its mold. I would be careful about even the seemingly innocent ways of speaking that are kind of compromise. It's not all the way taking God's name in vain. It's not all the way saying those words, but it kind of, you know what it means. You know that it refers to the same thing. If it refers to the same thing, let's not say those words. If it's just kind of hinting at it, if it's just kind of joking about it, like if somebody would call you on that and say, do you mean to be saying that? You'd say, oh, no way, I wouldn't ever say that. Well, the word you said is kind of a spin-off from that real word. And you wouldn't say the real word, but you kind of got in. What happened is we fell into the mold of the world a little bit. And to say those things gets you kind of through in the society of this world so you don't look so glaringly different. You kind of talk kind of like them, so you kind of fit in a little bit better. That's a real danger. And I'll tell you what, the world, when they realize that I am a Christian, I really want to live right, they're going to expect a very high standard of us. They talk about don't judge. The world judges people who are profess to be Christians. They put a severe judgment on us, and I think I've already preached about that lately. But they really expect us to live differently. And what's ridiculous to them is when we who profess to live for Christ, when they see us kind of living intermediately, kind of fitting in with them, it looks ridiculous to them. Either you are or you're not. That's what they are in their eyes. They have no confidence, and they actually think it's ridiculous and laughable when they see Christian people trying to act like the world, trying to kind of fit in what you wear, but not all the way. And you're not all the way like they think, you know, these holiness people, they ought to look like that. So why aren't they looking like that? It looks ridiculous to them for us to try to fit in. And it's not just ridiculous to the Lord, but the Lord says, if you're not cold and you're not hot, but you're lukewarm, what did he say? I'll spit you out. Fitting in and being lukewarm is a great danger to us. Jesus said, in the book of 2 Timothy, I found this. 2 Timothy 3 starts out with the last days and the perilous times and how men will be. It goes on in verse 13, but he says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's one of our dangers, is that people will try to seduce us. And seducing means that you come in, you use someone's likes and affections against them. You come in and you know what they like. And so there's flattery a lot of times involved. There's, I'm a believer too. I'm in this with you. So they try to form an alliance with you. You don't have to come off of your standard, but don't judge me, and we'll get along all right. Just don't, don't be so decisive. We'll just all get to get along here. What does the Bible say about yoking up with an unbeliever? He said, don't do it. There's a real danger in this, and we read about it several Sundays ago when we talked about the alliances that those kings made. Remember that message? Where some of the kings that loved the Lord, Asa and Joash and Jehoshaphat, some of those kings did really well until the end of their life, and then they made an alliance. They teamed up with those who didn't even serve God. That's a danger. That's a real danger. And we call it compromise. We say, I'll give here, you give here. We'll meet in the middle. But in the things of God, that's not an option for us. Yes, we can be kind. We should be kind. It's not our duty to go out and immediately when we come across our loved ones, our family, our friends, to begin telling them what they're doing wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But they need to know that there's a standard in my life. We can do this quietly. If the time comes, if we have the relationship established and they ask us the questions, we shouldn't waffle. We should let them know the truth in kindness. This is not a place to be silent when there's something that needs to be established. Lord, help us. This is a need in my life. I believe I can be too passive. I don't want to go so far as to be confrontational constantly about my faith. I don't think that's good either. But I don't want to be too passive. Lord, help us to have grace to stand where we need to stand. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 10, he was sending his disciples out, sending out the 12. And verse 16, he said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. What a danger. And you think, what shepherd would do that? All right, go right out there. They're waiting on you. But that's really how it was. I send you forth as sheep in the middle of a bunch of wolves. He said, be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's what I was speaking about. Don't get confrontational. Be harmless. Don't be so prickly as a staunch Christian that no one can approach you. And yet, don't be just lay down all of your convictions and just give in and let evil rule in the situation. He's saying here, you be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, because you're going to be in the midst of wolves. Some of those are sheep with wolves' clothing. So there's a danger. Where is it that he said that in Matthew 7? Verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, and you'll know them by their fruits. So these warnings of the danger are here for us. There's a warning that we have about the enemy, the devil. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Be sober. What does that mean? Be realistic. Have a sound mind. Look at things as they really are. Don't be in denial. There is an adversary. Be sober. Be vigilant. What does vigilant mean? To be on your guard. To be watchful. To be aware. The word beware means be aware. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said to Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. He said, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. Oh, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. That I missed that part. But anyway, so Jesus let us know we have an adversary. But what did he also say about the adversary, about himself? He said, now is the prince of this world cast out. And he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I have robbed it of its power to harm you. But what was Jesus in that victory? Jesus was going to the cross, and that is our victory too. Our victory is constantly doing as Jesus did and denying ourselves. That's how he cast out the prince of this world. The devil has no avenue but through our flesh. And so that's what we need to be careful about. If there's some things that we need to draw a line, the Lord will lead you personally. You draw a line right there. You do not go over that line. I can't, and Dan and I were talking about this morning, how dangerous it is to remove those lines in our lives. Now, the ministers in the Church of God have endeavored to keep a balance here. And there have been times that they've drawn lines as a group and said, we don't feel like this is good for anybody. They did that about television. Some people have questioned the wisdom of that. But I understand the intent, because it is a horrible thing. But now we have an even more dangerous thing that we almost all have to have in our lives, and that's the internet and what's available on there. How do you deal with that? How do you navigate through the dangers? Here's how I have explained it to some of my friends, is that to me, the internet is like a neighborhood. You go down the street and there are places of business all along, or houses all along that street. And you know what's in each of them. And you can go in that house and you're in trouble, or in that place of business. We know that about the internet. There are dangers there. There are places where we should not go, ever. Now, what happens with the internet is that some of those things, sometimes people are so evil that they enable those things to email us or pop up where we've gone in a place that we thought was innocent. We need to remember, I've got a line drawn there. I don't go there. And if it pops up, I immediately cut it off. Don't be seeking after it. So that's why that I have explained that somebody, because some have said, you won't have a television, but why do you have internet? To me, television, in my mind, was one of those forbidden houses. I don't go there. It's not that I never watch it. I've gone and visited people, or been in hotels and had it, you know, right there in front of you, and maybe gone and watched a news clip that I knew was okay, but even that is dangerous. Why? Because of the commercials. Commercials you can't control. Commercials, for the most part, are very, very off the edge. The pictures that they present, the subjects that they talk about, they're an assailing to your faith, to your morals. Anyway, that's, to me, that's one of those houses I don't go in. One of those places of business that I don't go in. There are other things on the internet that I'm allowed to go in by the Lord. Places where I can look up. It's a library. Same thing that happens when I go in the Danville Library. There are books I don't pull off the shelf and look at. There are places in the library that I really don't even go there. That's the way the internet is. So we have these dangers. We have to warn about the dangers. Sometimes we just make a line in the sand and say, this is the way we believe. Other times it's not that clear, and it can't be that way for every single person. And people don't understand that. We as people, most of us would rather say, I wish that you all would teach this and this and this and this, and that way I would know. Did you know God's way is better than that? God would rather deal with you personally. He doesn't want us to establish a code of rules and then just give them to every single person. Why? Because he wants to deal with us by his Spirit. And when he persuades you, that's the only thing that will overcome the world, is what he puts inside you. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, that divine persuasion. That's the only thing that overcomes the world. So even if we did just say, okay, y'all, here's the standard of Church of God Junction City. This is what we do and this is what we don't do. It really wouldn't make you closer to God. It wouldn't help you spiritually. You would come to depend on that, either reject it or you'd live by it. And after a while, it would just be something formal and it wouldn't even touch your heart or anything. It's not God's way to just live by what Sister Angela teaches or what Brother So-and-so set down. And there's some people that do that. If their pastor said it's okay, then it's okay. Really? You need to go to the source. Go to God's Word. Check up on the pastor. If the pastor is speaking some things in it, and you think, wait a minute, but God's Word says this, then you need to go with God's Word. There are so many dangers of Satan seducing us, trying to draw us away subtly, little by little. I remember Sister Karen LaCroix talking to us about the word wax. The love of many shall wax cold. And she gave us a warning about that, how that little by little Satan will chip away at us and try to get us to the level and the standard of this world. You may have remembered Sister Karen preaching about that in years past. I just remember it has been years ago. But it always stuck in my mind. Lord, help us not to succumb, not to cave in just a little bit. Don't go near that line. Don't take away those lines in your life. If the Lord has given you a conviction, you stay by it. You live by that. He may not give it to even your companion, your spouse. You may not teach it to your children as far as some of the little things in your life that you do. There's some things that I didn't just tell my children, you have to do this because Mama did it. Because I realized they too must be dealt with by the Lord. Let's just keep open to the Lord. He alone can show us the dangers. I remember one time as a young minister, a man said to me, I want you to come over and preach to us. And I said, well, let me pray about it. And he said, no, I've already prayed about it. And you're supposed to come. And that was a red flag to me and Dan. And we said, no, wait a minute. So we prayed about it. And the Lord gave me the song, verse from the song, where he leads me, I safely can go. There won't be any question. So when the Lord led us to come out here, we knew we were supposed to come here. No question. The Lord made it clear to us. And he's kept us. But what if we had made a move without his direction? That would have been a dangerous thing. Where he leads you, it's like Jesus said here, I've put you out here as sheep in the midst of wolves. I'll keep you. If he leads us, he'll keep us. But if he's not leading, if that's the danger. If I don't trust in the Lord with all my heart and he does not direct my steps, where does that leave me? Pray to the danger. I'll succumb every time. So that's one of the things, not just the world, not just Satan, but our own selves is where the truest danger is. Because that's how the world works, is through our flesh. That's how Satan works, is through our flesh. So our real danger is our own self, our flesh. So Lord, help us. Help us to be reminded from day to day, I need God. I need Him to deal with me. Lord, don't be silent to me. Talk to me. Warn me. Scripture says that David said, talking about the Lord's commandments, he said, by these are thy servant warned. We need to keep close to God's word. God's word will warn us about things that we need to be careful about.